T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
Happy Monday night there, Sports Open Line Hancock.
Hey, buddy boy, how you doing?
Buddy, listen, we walk into the studio.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for tonight's show.
Preparing for the show, as we
And first of all, we find out our friend Kevin Wheeler has COVID. Man, that just sucks.
Of course, I knew that several days ago, listening to Sports Open Line, as I do here at the Voice
of
St.
I've been
Louis.
Out of town, so I didn't, I didn't catch all that info.
Yeah.
But you just hopped in, man. You were like a pig in slop. Folks, what you may or may not know about my buddy is he fancies himself a play-by-play man.
Here come the Cardinals.
Yeah, and he'll occasionally call games when we go to the ball game.
Until that one guy.
Well, let me tell you, how many years ago did we go spring training?
It's been a while, maybe
five, six years ago.
Red was still around.
Yeah. So we go down to spring training, and Hancock and Kelly and I did our show down there, and it was just kind of mainly an excuse for us to be down there. I mean, we didn't really get to see too much. They wouldn't give us press passes to go back and talk to the
managers. We were in the little what you call it?
It was like a mobile mobile home almost,
right.
If you will.
Yes.
Actually, it was like something you'd have on like a construction site what they had us in. It was hot as Haiti in
right behind the right field fence, as I recall.
Yeah, there was nothing glamorous about it. Then later we went back and they had moved into more comfy studios. But anyway,
You know, you remember how bad I am at directions.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was, Michael's place is right there. He's got a place right there.
Right across from the ballpark.
But he had his family with him, so I stayed at the Marriott down the street. So I had to get up in the morning and walk over to the broadcast studio. And the thing about Jupiter, all the buildings look exactly alike. They're all kind of yellow and white. And they all look alike. And so I got a little confused, and I couldn't find a place. So I called Michael, and he says, you know, make a right, make a lead walk. So I get into the place. And this was in 2019.
Right.
Because the code to get into the room was 2019. Very tricky. And so our little broadcast, they got the little, you know, thing on the door, the lock, and you type in 2019, you open the door, and boom, you're in the studio. So I finally get to the right building. I walk down the hall, and there's a door to the left, and there's a door to the right. And I couldn't remember if our door was on the left or on the right. I thought, I think it's on the right. So I go to the right.
Of course you thought it was on the right.
I go to the right, and I type in 2019, click, it opens. I open the door. I'm in the weight room with all the Cardinals. They're all in there lifting, pumping weights. They say, who the heck is this guy? And I said, oops, I think I picked the wrong door. So the good news is I made it to the studio. The bad news is all of the keypads in this building were 2019. I mean, you know, hello. That doesn't seem very secure to me.
Yeah, I don't think we were the only ones who might have stumbled in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it was on that trip. We went up to the broadcast booth, and we hung out with Ackerman. And
we did.
Bob, Mike Claiborne, our
and,
pal Mike
and,
Claiborne.
And the pitcher.
Ricky Horton?
No. Yeah.
Oh, Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so afterwards, we go down, we sit in the stands, and Hancock starts doing play-by-play. Fast forward, later that year, we're back in St. Louis,
In your seats.
In my seats, which...
Great seats.
Great seats. So really we're sitting there.
Row 20 behind home plate. Okay. I mean, these are great seats.
Yeah, they're great seats. So Hancock's sitting there, and he decides...
Got a perfect view of home plate.
He's going to be Jack Buck.
Yeah.
And he starts to say, well,
Wainwright was on the mound.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Adam, you give him a little... Wainwright was on the mound. And
here's the first from Wainwright. It's over but low. Ball one.
And so I can see that people are looking at us and kind of chuckling.
They're enjoying it.
They're kind of chuckling.
For the most part.
And this continues.
There's a swing and a miss. Strike one. One ball and one strike. Nobody on, nobody out. Here we're in the third inning at Busch Stadium. The Cardinals and the Dodgers. Wainwright looks in and gets the sign from Yachty. The outfield is straight away. The infield plays the batter to pull.
So
and the 1-1 pitch is headed home. Swinging a pop-up on the infield. There's DeJong. He camps under it. He has it, and there's one away.
So as you can imagine, as this spirals into the third inning and the fourth inning, the cuteness of it has worn off. And a guy in front of us.
I thought it was
and
delightful.
We're fairly large men. The guy in front of us was a little bit bigger.
He was.
And he stands up, and he looks right at Hancock, and he goes, "Will you shut up?"
He did.
I didn't pay to hear you call the game.
Well, he should have.
And they took my seats away from me that year.
No, they didn't. But, you know, I mean, in all fairness to yours truly over here, yeah. I've done that before, and the people around, they genuinely think it's,
I think it's probably fun for an inning. It may be even fun for a couple.
Well, if you're watching the game, you're hearing
but
the
John,
play-by-play.
But, John, all of a sudden you would start throwing in, Wainwright, you may not know this, used to drive a combine when he was a kid.
No, I never said that.
He would.
He could do about
12 bales of hay in 1 hour.
What I would have said is that Wainwright was part of the Jason Marquis and J.D. Drew deal that brought him to St. Louis from Atlanta. And he's been a Cardinal ever since, but he did not start off in the Cardinal organization. There's a strike call in the inside corner. That was a curveball, a good one. By Adam Wainwright.
Needless for me to say, so when the technical difficulties go down this evening and Matt says, hey, I think we've lost wheels.
I volunteer.
My guy is sitting there, and Matt even says to me, he goes, Mike, can you talk for a minute? I'm like, no, I'm not going to talk sports. I mean, what am I going to talk about, badminton? I love the Cardinals. I know what the score was. But, I don't know what the war average of the third baseman to the second baseman
is. Well, no, we were talking defensive run save because the Cardinals won five gold gloves this year. Of course, it was Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill in the outfield, number two for O'Neill. And Manny Machado, I think it was his eighth gold glove over at third base. Paul Goldschmidt wins his second at first base. And Tommy Edman with his first gold glove at second base. Yadier Molina was also nominated, didn't make it.
Lord.
So, yeah, that was the drill.
We've got a full night for you.
It's
we are going to
what
have
what we have prepared for you people tonight is we ought to be getting a raise.
And
honestly,
as promised, there'll be no politics, but we are going to talk to the guy that used to sit between us during our television show Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2. He's the former anchor of KTVI right here in St. Louis. He's also an author of about 100 different books.
About Missouri.
And when we come back, we'll be visited by John Brown from Orlando, Florida, after this on Camel X.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
It's just another man.
go straight to the Quiver River Electric guest line, where we're joined by our old buddy John Brown, former KTVI anchor. What's the name of your station down in Orlando now, Brown?
Fox 35 Orlando.
Nice.
So we were doing Hancock and Kelly late night. Now, you know, our agreement is we don't do politics. And the, one of the first guests we have on is the guy that used to sit between us during our politics show.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point.
You guys can't get away from the ties that bind, right?
You're a prolific author, Brown. And
how many books have you written?
I think this is number 10.
You think?
Yeah.
Hancock, how many books have you written?
Less than 10.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like talking to John Grisham.
I was going to say, when you don't know how many books you've written, you've written a lot of books.
Yeah.
Well, you know, several burned up in a fire. So
That's true. Yeah. Next to Cardinal Glennon.
How many years ago was that?
Three or four.
And that's one of the most bizarre stories about my new one is. One of the reasons why Missouri Legends is back out is that was one of the books that was in that fire. And I'll never forget, we're reporting on the story, and my publisher, Josh, there at Reedy Press, says, hey, you know that fire you're talking about? Yeah, that's all your books.
Oh, well, you know, they usually blame the Republicans for burning the books. So.
I don't know what it was who took the blame on this one, but it made me get to work, so I had to rewrite it.
So, John, what is Missouri Legends? And is edition two. Both you were kind enough to give both Hancock and I a copy. I've thumbed through it. It's awesome. I haven't had a chance to read it
completely. Sitting on my coffee table as we speak, and it should be in front of me. I'm really, I forgot to bring it tonight.
Well, I'll just read the whole 500 pages. Well, you guys have heard this story before, but then, you know, I started making this list of the famous Missourians because I'd lived in 20 different places in Missouri all before I graduated from college. And I'm making this list, and this is before Wikipedia. And so I had this long list, and I would show it to people, and they're like, this is amazing. I had no idea all these famous people were from Missouri.
It's crazy.
You should make this a book. So I started showing it to publishers, and they're all like, this is great. We're not interested.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there was a number of different reasons why. And then finally, Reedy Press picked it up, and that was 2008 when my first version came out. And when it burned up in this series of four books I wrote for this year, I said, let's redo Missouri Legends, because there have been so many people who have become famous since then, and some that aren't really in the news now, but also gave me a chance to refresh with some of the new information and add a few changes, which I think this book's much better than the first one.
Well, I got to tell you, it is staggering to me, just the volume of people that all of us know, all of us have admired, all of us have seen in their various endeavors, that have these Missouri connections. It's incredible. And, of course, I'm near and dear to my heart is the great ragtime pioneer, Scott Joplin, and you've got a great little section on him in the book.
Well, what was so cool about this version, too, is I've grown a lot since 2008, and I was able to interview either some of these legends, many of these legends, or their family members, or people who run the foundations, or like Dale Carnegie's folks up in New York, you know, gave me some insight that I didn't have before. So I think that's what makes this book interesting. Because I was just reading over it again today, and to me it's just so cool to hear how these people became famous growing up the same way that all of us did. You know, most of them didn't have a silver spoon. They didn't have any connections. They just had this, whatever it is, that down-home Missouri upbringing that caused them to rise through the ranks and become incredibly successful. And hearing those stories about how Missouri impacted them, that's what I think sets this book apart.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you have it divided into a couple of different sections. You have actors, entertainers, politicians. Talk us through how you've divided it up.
Well, first of all, I always like to talk how I decided who was going to be in the book. Because there are tons of people who you would think, well, hey, Jack Buck's got to be in there, right? Well, I use the quintessential Missouri question, or the St. Louis question, where'd you go to high school?
Right.
You had to have spent your formative years here. But, you know, like an Eminem, you know, the rapper Eminem.
Right.
Everybody sees on Wikipedia, oh, he's from Missouri. Well, no, his mother was driving through St. Joe and happens to stop at a hospital and has a baby, and then they keep on driving. So on his birth certificate, he says he's from Missouri, but he never spent any time here.
Huh.
On the flip side, like an Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols grew up elsewhere, but then moved to Missouri during his high school years and graduated high school. A lot of people don't realize Albert grew up on the western part of the state, and so I included him because I think those high school years are so important with how you're developed, with your formative years. And so I included people like that. So like a Jack Buck. Jack Buck's not in the book because he came here and became famous. Joe Buck is in the book
right. Because
he grew up here, went to high school, and became famous. So that's how I went about it, and then just finding all these different genres of who fit my parameters.
Jack Buck from Holyoke, Massachusetts, is not in the book, but his son Joe is.
And Harry Carey's in there.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Harry Carey is. Well, that's, you know, those are a couple of stories that I love. So like a Harry Carey, everybody just assumes he was from Chicago. But, I mean, he grew up right next to old Busch Stadium, or old Sportsman, way back in the day, right?
Yeah.
In that area where Busch Stadium is, that's where he grew up. And then you also have the two arguably most famous New York sports baseball stars.
Yogi.
With Yogi Berra and Casey Stengel.
Yeah.
Both from Missouri. So everybody's like, oh, they're New Yorkers. No. Casey grew up in KC. Yogi Berra grew up right here, of course, with Joe Garagiola. We all know that story. And so even the most famous New Yorkers are actually Missourians.
It's so true. Well, and you look at some of the actors, you know, and a guy that, he was legendary in horror movies, but he actually was a really good guy, is Vincent Price.
Yeah, and he actually didn't really like the genre of horror movies. But that's where he made his money. He was like a connoisseur of fine wines, and, you know, he was a trained actor and all these kind of things, but then just kind of fell into that genre where he became so famous. And what's so funny now is the younger generation, I tested this in the school when I spoke before I left Missouri. I'm like, Vincent Price, who knows who he is? Nobody really knows who he is. And then I play Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Right.
And he's in there, and they all know him from Thriller, but know nothing about the man himself.
You know, one of the great stories about Vincent Price is he was, you know, born and raised here. And every time he came back to St. Louis, he had one place that he would stop, and it was Bissinger's Chocolate.
Yeah.
And the guy loved Bissinger. And he was married, of course, to Phyllis Diller, who also is from St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many cool stories like that. And those are the kind of things that I think really, I mean, you guys know, and I've always talked about this inferiority complex that for some reason we have in Missouri. And I get no greater joy than to go into some schools and even go out and talk to business groups and groups all across the state and say, why is it we have this inferiority complex? You know, people say, well, I'm from this small town. I don't have a great upbringing. I said, look at this list of famous people who grew up right here by you, the same background, the same pedigree, yet they were able to make it. So you can't use that excuse that you're from a small town in flyover country. And you can't use that as an excuse anymore because others have done it. Here's the roadmap how you can do it. Now go out and do it. I love getting out and talking to groups and telling them these stories, and especially with younger kids. The light goes off. You know, when you say, well, the guy who invented 7-Up is from a town smaller than yours in mid-Missouri. The guy who invented the computer chip, mid-Missouri guy. You just go down the list of these amazing individuals, and the light goes off, and I hope I'm having some impact down the road.
It's a fantastic book. And, you know, I do demographics in politics. You know, you spend a lot of time working with demographics. And the state of Missouri has one of the highest, it's called state nativity, percentages in the country. In other words, the people who live here who were born here. Missouri state nativity numbers are extremely high. And so I'm thinking about a book like this as we head into the holiday season. You've got people out there all over this state who are the 5th, 6th, 7th generation Missourian. This thing would make a perfect gift. And I'm telling you, it is literally sitting on my coffee table right now. How can somebody get hold of this book, John Brown?
Well, signed copies, MissouriLegends.com.
Signed copies.
That's the only place to get signed copies right now. And to me, it's so cool because when you're on there, you can read all these other stories that I write that you wouldn't think are all that interesting. Like I have the biggest high schools, the biggest counties, the most populated towns, you know, the area with the highest income. But then I have the biggest houses in Missouri. And that's the number one hit thing on my website. So there's a little bit of everything when it comes to Missouri trivia and these kind of great stories. And, you know, teachers have been tearing this up so far because they had the elementary history school, the history project, where they have to talk about a famous person. So teachers are loving this book right now. But again, great gifts too. And I have no supply chain issues. I can sign them for you. They don't have to come in from China. I already got it ready for you for the holidays. I can sign it however you want.
All right. Give the website one more time.
MissouriLegends.com. Everything is on that site. Really easy to order, and lots of great stories.
All right, before we let you go, buddy, how many months have you been down in Florida now?
It has now been about 5 months, I believe.
No, really? Do you love it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going well. You know, it's right now is when it starts to get really good because it's been hot. But now, you know, like today it was 78 degrees, and the forecast for the next 7 days is
78 degrees.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, so, yeah.
And you and I happen to be Facebook fans, and I know that you are getting to do something you didn't do much of in St. Louis.
What's that?
Golf. I feel like every time you post a picture, you're out playing golf. I'm like, does this guy report on the news at all?
My golf game is on fire right now. But what's so cool is there are so many former St. Louis athletes down here. That, like David Eckstein, I see David all the time. We were supposed to play golf, and then he bailed on me. And so this is where all the athletes go to live, kind of in the area where I live. So I'm playing with Curtis Laskanik, who was a pitcher for the Red Sox the year they beat the Cardinals. And so it's kind of, you know, you hear all these funny stories, and everybody's got a St. Louis story about playing there. And so in our neighborhood, our realtor moved down here from University City. And so even in the neighborhood we live in, we have people from Chesterfield, University City, someone from Ladue, a few Webster Groves. There's two different families from Webster Groves, and some outstate Missourians, too. So it's kind of funny that you end up finding people. And, of course, the number one question, there's even a St. Louis expats group.
Where'd you go to
the number one question, they have to, when you're trying to opt into the website and ask you questions to prove you're an actual person, it says, what high school did you go to?
So this is a great story. Years ago, I want to say it's probably 2004-5, we brought Governor Jeb Bush in for a fundraising event in St. Louis for the Missouri Republican Party. And so we have this big gathering, and, you know, all the donors are there. And Jeb Bush gets up on the podium, and he looks out on the crowd, and he says, you know, it's so good to be here with all of my constituents. Because everybody that's got money moves to Florida, it seems like.
That's very funny.
Hey, before we let you go, how are the kids adjusting? Doing well?
Well, one's still up in Missouri. She's in Missouri State. And so she's adjusting well.
You've got a college. Wow.
Yeah, she's in Missouri State. And then my youngest is enjoying life right now. You know, you guys, and I've told people, I always tell people, the football culture here is something you just, you know, yes, football's big in Missouri, but when you see these kids, like her best buddy, right, she's befriended, well, it's my co-anchor son. He's like 6'2", 275. He's 15.
Whoa.
You know, and so you have these, like, out of this high school where my daughter goes, I think there's already been eight D1 signings.
What a coincidence. I'm 6'2", 275.
We'd have to call that guy sir, and he's 15 years old.
The difference, John, is his college is going to be paid for. Yours was not.
Well, I can't even pay for dinner at this point.
Hey, John, we've got to have you back on in a couple more weeks before Christmas. Give the website address one more time. We'll let you go back to the news.
Yep, MissouriLegends.com. Just let me know how you want the book signed, and I'll ship them out this week.
Nothing better. What a great gift idea. John Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thanks, Brown. We'll talk to you
gentlemen,
soon.
Love you guys. I'll talk soon.
Love you, too. All right, when we come back, Michael, what are we doing?
We'll be right here.
Oh, all right.
It's
after
late
this.
Night with Hancock and Kelly.
Camel X. About to be a great night. Really good tonight. Yeah. This is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Monday. Oh, yeah, very nice. That's the one group out there. I was going to say Mamas and the Papas, I didn't pull the trigger. Wow, I didn't pull the trigger. I had that, Michael.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, stick around with us till 10 o'clock, then we'll take you all the way up to the best of Glover. I think they're going to fit about 2 minutes of the best of Kelly and Hancock.
Yeah, no,
in there.
It's the best of Glover. It's going to be amazing.
It will be very nice.
You got
nice.
Glover over here, and then you got
Trish
Rachel
over there. And then, of course, Andrew.
Andrew over here.
Behind the glass.
Absolutely amazing what happens during the Glover show.
I got a haircut today.
What?
I got a haircut today.
I can't tell.
You can't?
No.
Are you serious?
No, I mean, I'm looking at it.
Now, isn't that amazing? Because I felt miserable for the last week or so that I'm like, I need a haircut. I feel fat. I feel out of...
You felt fat because of your hair.
Yeah. Don't you ever... Well, this is an unfair question to bring up to a bald man, but you used to have a nice flowing hair of...
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Nice flow.
I mean, I don't like to talk.
Yeah, you don't like to talk. It went away quickly. But there's just no better feel. Don't you feel clean like once you get your hair cut?
Well, I do because when I, you know, they take the number one to me and, you know, it's like a sheep.
So same thing happens to me. I get sheared, you know, I mean, trust me, this is a Brillo pad up here.
You got the mop going on though.
Yeah, well, I had to put a bunch of stuff in it. Otherwise, I used to keep my hair really, if you remember when you and I first met, I really, and all the pictures of us and news articles and stuff, I had a very short hair.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And it's just since COVID that I've decided, all right, I'm going to let it go. And I've got this big old, you know, I don't know what you'd call it.
It's almost like a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, effect. A mushroom cloud effect.
And it's got the kind of white gray thing going on.
Yeah,
there.
It's a little wavy. Yeah. It's very coarse. Yeah. It's very Irish. Yeah, I'm meant to be in like cloudy weather with raindrops, you know, hitting the top of my head.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got a haircut and there's no better feeling. I just love getting my haircut. And now this is the part that I wanted to get to. It makes me feel thinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's just something about that coming off. And I don't, you know, it's not much weight. It's a couple of ounces they take off the top of your head. But when you look at yourself in the mirror after a nice haircut as a man, you just feel thinner.
Well, you feel better. I will give you that. Because even when I go to the Great Clips there at the Town and Country Commons.
How long does it take you to get your haircut?
3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What kind of an exchange do you have with the person who cuts your hair? Because you only have 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
Perfect. Because I've got maybe 35 to 50 really good stories.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I can spread those out over the course of a year. And, of course, you don't always get the same person.
Right. So you don't have a Carol or Tom, you know, the same old person?
No, I kind of bounce around. So you got Sarah, who she's my favorite.
Yeah.
And then Gwen's very good.
Yeah, very
good.
And
then Brittany, who I had a crush on her mom in high school.
Right.
And, so Tatiana has retired, so she no longer is there. So I go in and, you know, they say number one, and I say yes. Number one. I used to be number two, Michael.
Right.
And I got tired of being number two because people always call me number two.
Well, no, and actually then, on the highway, a lot of people call you number one.
Well, they do, yes, by driving. But so they get the razor out there and, you know, it's very relaxing, actually.
I know. I love it.
And now you have to wear the mask when you get your hair cut. At least I do.
Now. Here's what I did.
Yeah.
So the COVID hits us in March of 2020.
Yeah.
And, we were all pretty much locked up all the way through.
Buddy, you let it go.
Easter, I let it go.
Oh.
And, John, I'm not kidding. It was the longest my hair had ever been, but I had no place to go. I didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
We did the television show via Zoom. So I was able to put enough, you know, hair product in my hair.
Really. It didn't work.
To mat it down and to try to get it controllable.
The dude looked like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I know what it was.
Yeah.
That great band from the 1980s, the Flock of Seagulls.
Oh.
You remember the Flock of Seagulls?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, hair everywhere.
But remember, there was no place to go get your hair cut because COVID had shut everything down.
That's true.
So finally, I said to my sister, hey, sister, I'm not going to say her name.
All right.
My haircut, I need to get a haircut. You just said you got your haircut. And she says, I have a friend of mine, Josh.
Josh.
And I said, well, where do you go? Josh will come and he'll do it on your back porch.
Josh comes to your house.
So Josh came to my back porch in like May of 20.
Oh, yeah.
It was quite a, and he sheared me like a good little sheep.
Right.
I felt a lot lighter and stuff, and I've never left. And so during COVID
Josh is still cutting your hair.
He still comes through whenever he's going to come through my neighborhood. He lets me know he's going to be around and gives me enough time, and he and I get together, and he just cuts it on the back.
So you don't go into a barbershop or
a salon? No, not since COVID. Not since COVID.
Huh.
And this young man, he's picked up quite a clientele as a result of COVID, and I think he's continued it because he cuts a lot of older people's hair and stuff who may not want to get out and be closer to what's going on with COVID. And it is uncomfortable to sit there with your mask on, but when you're able to do it on your own back porch, it's nice.
You know, the thing about getting a haircut as a guy is that you inevitably get asked the stupidest question that has ever been asked in the history of the world.
Where'd you go to high school?
No.
Wow.
Would you like me to do your eyebrows?
Well,
who would say no to that question?
Well, nobody ever asked me to cut my eyebrows.
What?
I've never had my eyebrows trimmed. No. Speechless. What, your eyebrows grow like a woolly mammoth over there?
I would look like
the crazy little Muppets.
Yes,
that, yeah, with
the drummer guy.
Yeah, right.
You never had your eyebrows trimmed.
I've had like a couple of ones that like pop out that wind up being like a, you know, all of a sudden like real long. And I've trimmed them, but I've never gotten my hair, my eyebrows trimmed ever from somebody who cut my hair.
I can't believe what I'm hearing right here.
Yeah.
You've never had your eyebrows.
No.
Every time I get my, because they would be, it would be like shrubbery. I mean, it's the only place that, well, that in my ears. It's the only place that hair grows.
Really?
On my entire body.
Well, see, that's one thing I was going to tell you is that I can't grow a beard. It's splotchy.
Yeah.
I can kind of get a mustache, but I look kind of weird because it takes forever.
You look like the kind of guy that should have a Chevy Econoline van with no back seats in it.
Yeah, if I had a mustache. But I have no body. I mean, I have no hair on my chest or anything.
Really?
I've never. Yeah, isn't it amazing? Like, you can have this massive head of hair and then no hair. And then I see all these these guys that, you know, be down at the Lake of the Ozarks at one of the pool bars or something, and the guy's bald, but he looks like he's wearing a sweater in the pool because he's got
like a grizzly bear.
So much nasty. Oh, I can't deal with that.
I mean, on the arms and the shoulders.
Yeah.
I've never
had to deal with that myself.
So that might explain the eyebrows.
Now, so did you used to have clippers, like where they actually took a pair of scissors cut your hair?
Yes, I had hair back.
Because
then.
Now you have a machine. Well, how long did you ever grow it out? Did you have a ponytail?
So I did. I had long hair in high school, the shoulder length, and it was curly. And
were you rebellious with your hair?
No.
Did your parents hate it?
You know, I don't like to talk, but I was good looking, and so what happened? Yeah, I had to get the hair cut, and then you know I ended up running for office when I was 24. So had to like be respectable.
Yeah, high and tight then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, nice and short. And so I had the kind of 24 to 35. You know, I had the businessman cut going on or whatever. And then about 35 to 40.
That's when it hits.
It hit. But
were you
now
like
it's
trying
really
to? Were you
it.
Trying to pull it over?
I did the comb over. I did a comb over for about a year and a half, and
who convinced you to finally quit?
Somebody at the office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and and so.
No, I understand.
So I went.
I wish more people were told that.
Yeah. And so I went in. And I said, "All right, let's shave it down," you know. And I went with, and basically since then, mid-40s. I've been sporting kind of what I'm sporting now.
Don't you ever know? One of the things that is remarkable to me about bald guys is they look like they should be bald. Yeah. Like, I look at my scalp through my hair, and I'm like, man, I got a weird fit-shaped scalp. But some, you know, bald guys, they look good bald.
What do you think if I just showed up with a toupee? had a nice little kind of full, like a little wavy thing, you know, and a toupee. And
there's a guy on local television.
A little dark and gray hair running through it so it doesn't look too, you know, inauthentic.
Yeah. There is a guy on local television.
Can I pull that off at this point?
No. Huh. But there is a guy on local television who has it. And you just want to, you can't say their name.
Oh,
but I mean, we all know it. We all watch local television and you see the local news and there's somebody who just got the worst deal. And you want to say to him, why are you doing it? Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have friends of mine who are in the midst of dealing with the comb over right now.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell them as a friend, listen, let me tell you something. We all think this is silly what you're up to, and you'd probably look better if you weren't doing it.
Well, and that's what, you know, for me, that was the thing. And I just, okay, all right then, you know, I mean, things change. All right, who's the guy on local television?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. The former president of the United States clearly was evolving.
That's an elaborate thing going on.
But, I mean, that's a massive comb-over.
Well, it's what it is hundreds and hundreds of dollars a week. I mean, to do what is being done, you're
to quaff
about,
it that
you're
way.
You're talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah, of course.
The sheer expenditure on that is massive. I've actually kind of read some stories about that.
Really?
Yeah. And the weave that's going on there.
Oh, so they've sewn hair in there.
It's amazing.
Huh.
Yeah. And I mean, to keep it up, and he's done it. I mean, he's done a tremendous job of it. He's the only president, perhaps in the history of the country, whose hair didn't age during his presidency. You know, a lot of these, like, look at Obama. He came in, and when he left, his hair was gray.
Oh, completely gray.
George Bush, he came in, and he looked older.
Bill Clinton came in as a young man and left as an old
Donald Trump.
Weather
the hair was the same the day he left office as the day he was inaugurated.
Speaking of orange things,
yeah,
we don't have enough time. I'm going to bring this back up when we come back after this, Late Night, Hancock and Kelly.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
So when we were talking about, hair, etc.
Hair.
So I take a shower twice a day.
What?
I wake up in the morning and I take a shower.
Twice a day.
And then before I get into bed at night, I take a shower. You think that's crazy?
Well, it seems like redundant to me.
There's sometimes that I'll take a shower two or three times a day.
What?
Yeah. So
this past
Saturday, I woke up and I had a busy day. Now, so I woke up, I took a shower, and I immediately went about cleaning and doing a bunch of stuff I had to do around my house.
Okay.
So now it's mid-afternoon. I've been hauling trash. I've been doing all this other stuff.
Sweating.
Got to take another shower.
Yeah, well.
Got to take a shower. I get cleaned up.
I don't do a lot of sweating.
Then I wound up sitting on the couch watching football.
Oh, there you go.
Hung out with a friend there for a little while watching football. Yeah. And before I go to bed at night, I take a shower. Why do you think that's weird?
Because you one shower. I mean, you get out. I take a shower every day, but I take one every day.
Yeah, no, I take several showers. I have to take a shower before I get into bed. Otherwise, I feel dirty and my sheets are going to be nasty.
Well, how dirty can you possibly be?
Probably not. It's all psychological. Yeah. But what's wrong with taking a quick little shower, rinsing off?
Yeah, but the water. I mean, you liberal environmentalists out there ought to be worried about using all that water.
I live in the water mecca of the world. It's not like I'm living in Las Vegas.
Do you shave every day?
No. I'm about an every 3 day. I told you I don't have much facial hair.
Well, you got some going on.
Well,
right
I got
now.
Some stubble. So on Saturday morning, when I first woke up, that's when I did my shave.
Yeah,
I shaved my face.
Right.
Then I did my work. I came back, took an afternoon shower, took a shower before I went to bed.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, I went on TV. I did not shave before we did that.
Is that right?
Monday morning, woke up. I have not shaved. Now tomorrow morning, I will shave. Huh. You shave every day?
Every day.
No matter what. Do you feel incomplete if you haven't shaved?
I feel dirty if I don't shave.
Really?
Yes. And so, I got I'm rubbing them now. I mean, they need to have a little something.
I got a little scruff, but you never do a little scruff because you feel dirty.
Maybe on a Saturday I'll not shave, but it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I shave every day. And, what I've noticed over these multiple decades that I've been on the planet is that I've gotten better at regulating the amount of shaving cream. So, because when you shave, you start off, you got your left hand there.
Do you use the gel or the cream?
I can go both ways.
Okay.
And so so I'll pick up the can right there and, you squirt it in your palm.
See, mine doesn't go because it's gel.
Well, I get the and so so at the moment I'm using the because we ran out of the so but it used to be that I would squirt that stuff and you kind of make a little thing looks like a pile of dog poop there and what I realized
wait a minute, you just told me that this is the stuff that makes you feel clean and you just compared it to
dog
poop
because that's what it looks like except different color
so.
And what I realize is that you start dabbing that on your face there. You get under your neck over here. You get under your nose right there. And I would waste over half of the stuff I have sprayed into my hand.
I'm with you.
Which they're designed to do. I am convinced it's a conspiracy by the shaving cream manufacturers to have nozzles that spit out more shaving cream than you need
so that
you waste it so that you buy more.
That's capitalism. John
right.
Hancock.
So
that's
what
capitalism.
I have, as I calm down. What I've come to understand is that I don't need a dog poop.
Yeah,
I just need a little
spot.
Little spot.
Just a little spot.
And then if you kind of work it in.
Now you shave in front of the mirror.
No,
You shave in the shower.
I shave blind.
I do too. In the shower.
Yeah.
I just feel it. Or just feel it
That's
and
it.
I touch it.
Yeah.
It's a touchy-feel thing. And
totally.
Then when I get out of the shower, I stand in front of the mirror and tighten
sure
up to make sure I didn't miss right under your nose. Or
see, I used to do that, but I don't like to look at myself anymore. So, I kind of go out of my way not to look at myself. Yeah, if I started losing weight, I might start looking at myself.
No,
again.
But you got to. You got to go check and make sure you didn't screw up your sideburns.
Well,
and stuff.
You can tell.
Have you ever missed a whole patch and spent the whole day out with like, and you can tell. You can feel it, and then you're like, somebody's looking at this.
So, you know, I do side, bottom right, and then I do side left, bottom left, and middle.
Oh, see, I can't upshave.
Then I do the chin, and then I do the mustache.
Yeah.
So there have been days where I have forgotten, or I have thought I did the mustache when I, in fact, have not done the mustache.
Yeah.
That messes me up. Big time.
Yeah, because now you can feel it when you touch your face and you're
like,
and you think everybody's staring at it.
Yes, because
one day I'm in the restroom at an office that I work for a business, so I'm at the business, I'm showing up for a meeting. I said, may I use the restroom? I go to the restroom, I'm washing my hands, I'm looking at myself, and I'm like,
boom.
Oh my gosh,
boom.
I have a patch of hair
Oof.
Right below my nose
Oof.
That everybody in this room is going to be looking at.
Looking
so
like,
now the whole time I'm
like,
talking.
You're
I'm,
looking like Hitler.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I say a patch, I'm saying like the size of an eraser.
Okay.
You couldn't really tell. But only a person that it has it could tell.
Yeah.
But now I'm sitting in the mirror, I've got my hand on my face like this, and I'm trying
just
to
very thoughtful.
Talk.
Very thoughtful. Yeah.
I didn't get to tell you about my orange thing, dude.
Well, we've got nothing but time, Michael, because there's another hour here, at least one more in the annals of late night Mondays with Hancock and Kelly. Matt has returned so he can safely get us into some spots in the news. It's Michael Kelly and John Hancock. We are joining you as we do many Monday evenings here on the Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX. Join us next hour, won't you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.